Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast, the weekly trawl. Trawl doesn't sound very exciting,
does it?
The weekly jog through the great pop cultural highlights of the week, mostly TV. We're going to do a film soon, honest.
We haven't done a film for ages.
We're waiting
for Boyd to organise us all to go to a screening.
You're listening to the voice. I'm Boyd Hilton. You're listening to the voices of my glorious colleagues, Stephanie Seelan and Kay Ribeiro. Welcome.
Hi.
And in a few, I just thought of this now, thinking about it. Mm. You know, it's the big Thursday book week soon in October.
Oh, yeah.
Or end of September, beginning of October.
Where all
where
the books
every
get released.
Single huge book comes out in the same
Let's
the same
read them
day.
All.
So, yeah, we're going to read them all.
Oh, no, yes.
We're gonna, no. About, it's about 500. They're about 500 to go.
No, well, yeah, let's just do the best ones.
Yeah. But that, so we'll, maybe we'll do like a, at least one, if not
You know,
a
I'm a
special.
Fan of reading. I'm happy to do that.
Let's do maybe a couple.
Couple.
Steph's just going to lie about it, even if she hasn't read them.
Hey, do you know what? I think I should be rewarded for last week's honesty.
Okay.
If you're not a regular listener, I admitted that I hadn't watched some shows, but I had publicly lied about them to my colleagues.
But not the ones we review on this podcast.
No, just like old
In
shows,
life,
like
yeah.
big
yeah.
cultural
Cold
events.
Feet, 1990 and, okay, Dr. Foster. But that was having to be part of a cultural moment. You should feel sorry for me, really.
She's got massive FOMO.
Yeah.
Yeah. This week, we've got an extraordinary situation, I believe, unprecedented in the history of television.
You look shocked.
I am shocked. And we're going to address it head on. So the Williams brothers, Harry and Jack, are two excellent writers who wrote The Missing, both series of The Missing. Did you watch those? Did you watch those or pretend to watch them? Steph?
I didn't
right.
watch
on
them.
On BBC One?
I didn't watch them, nor am I going to pretend that I have Great. Watched them. But okay. I have heard of them.
Yeah. They also did One of Us, which was a good crime drama earlier this year. It was really good, I thought, on BBC One. And they also produced Fleabag.
It's we love Fleabag.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they're great talents. And they have written two new six-part thriller series, one called Liar, one called Relic, and they're both on exactly the same day, at the same time, on the rival channels of BBC One and ITV.
There's an oversight.
What?
Yes.
That's
it's
just
a bit
silly.
Weird, isn't it?
It's extraordinary.
Why? They've done it so it's a talking point, obviously, right? So they're all in, like...
I don't think they even had the path... I don't think they have the power to sort out when they're on. I think maybe BBC
maybe
and ITV
TV
and thought...
TV bigwigs have decided...
I don't know.
Themselves.
I mean, we'll have to find out. I'll have to find out.
That's I'm gonna text them. You must be friends with them, surely.
So they're on at
I'm
the same time?
They're on the same day, at the same time, next Monday, the 11th of September, 9 o'clock to be precise. Liar on ITV, Relic on BBC One. And we have seen both, aren't we? We're going to review both. But they're both on the same time and they're written
there
by the same two brothers.
There are some similarities.
Well, there you go, yeah. Mm. So we'll address that full on. But that is the extraordinary situation we're faced with.
Are they twin brothers?
Do you know what they might be? They look. I went to a launch of The Missing, and they look similar. They're very frizzy haired.
Oh,
but I'm
right.
not sure if they're.
Hey,
we'll
I immediately have an affinity with them then.
Because they're frizzy haired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're also doing John Bishop in conversation with ellipsis.
Ooh.
David Walliams, which is the first in the new series of his in-depth chat show, where he interviews one person a week for an hour, and I think it's an interesting challenge.
I didn't know that he was like he did this, but this is not the first series, is it?
No, it's the third, believe it or not. But I thought, this is a virgin slot because I thought I know neither of you two would have seen it before.
Hold on, that is very presumptuous.
Had you seen it before?
I'm very true,
absolutely
though.
Absolutely correct. I have not seen it before, and I didn't even know it existed.
There you go. That's on the W channel, and then finally we're looking at the latest series, I believe fifth series of another show that I'm betting neither of you have seen, which is Taskmaster on the Dave channel.
No, I have not seen that before.
Steph,
I've not seen it, and unfortunately, I cannot unsee it.
Spoiler alert.
Look, don't give your verdict right now.
Taskmaster is a very popular... I think it's one of Dave's most popular shows. It's certainly had a lot of... Yeah, it's had a lot of critical acclaim. It's like been nominated for awards and shit.
Really? I'm nominated... What awards?
I think it's been nominated for like BAFTAs and RTS awards.
No.
Oh, seriously, it has.
I think it's nominated for like those TV Sympathy Awards.
No,
a bit self-nominated.
No.
Like, is it an award it's made itself?
No. Oh, God, harsh, you two, clearly.
God, I'm just trying to Google whether the Williams brothers are twins, and it's really hard to find out.
Because
Williams is quite a,
common name. Harry and Jack. There can't be that many Harry and Jack Williams brothers.
That was the key. bear with.
Yeah, okay. While you do that, I will move on to the what we've been watching section of the show, Kay. Would you like to start with a general chat about what is floating your boat in the world of television, film? I mean, it could be anything. Okay.
Right. So I've still been ploughing on with that amazing BBC 4 drama, Spanish drama I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I know who you are. Sé quién eres.
The Saturday night BBC 4 foreign drama slot.
Can I just ask you a quick question about that? Did you eventually get to watch the first two episodes? Because you know you started on three.
Okay. But you don't need to because it has a recap.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. And it's really, really good. So I've been really excited about that.
Is it finished yet?
Yeah, it's all up on my plan. Yeah.
So you've finished it? You've finished it?
No, I've
got
two episodes
left. Okay, fine.
Also, I've been... this bit of a random one for this section, but I've been watching a lot of old Big Breakfast clips. Now... It's 25 years since it started. In the magazine, we've got a massive feature
it's
celebrating
how many
it.
Years?
25.
Heat magazine.
In Heat magazine. Yeah. And I wrote it, and so I had to do a lot of research. And, God, you just forget how amazing that show was. Like, Chris Evans and Gabby, Zig and Zag. I mean, Johnny and Denise. It was so, so good. Did you know Zig and Zag had interviewed President Trump? Well,
no.
Then just Donald Trump.
Wow. Yeah. Well, then he was like a kind of ludicrous celebrity figure, whereas now...
And now?
Now he's just a ludicrous man.
He's an evil psychopath.
Sorry to bring that up.
No. Oh, that's interesting. So they're all on YouTube, presumably, these clips?
There's loads of clips. I mean, the whole Batcat isn't on there, obviously, but it's like...
Batcat.
Yeah.
But there are loads of clips on the YouTube.
Oh, God, yeah. And
so you can fall into a YouTube, I believe they kids, they
which
call
is what
spiral.
I did, and it's brilliant, because I just said it was work, but like I was guffawing at my desk. It's
you
so
were.
Good.
There's... I can confirm, listeners, that Kay was guffawing.
It's a guffaw.
There was just nothing, there's nothing like that now, you know.
It is a bit sad, actually, now you mention it, that all of the channels really have kind of gone for. I guess like Lorraine's on, isn't she? And then there's This Morning.
Lorraine is no big. Come on.
Wait,
now.
Are you comparing Lorraine to
I know,
Breakfast?
I know. But there's like so there's the rest of like straightforward news
now
shows.
Now we've got is Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan, right.
God.
But they're
none
all news magazine shows. So they're not like the entertainment. And Channel 4 just, I guess they just thought we can't, it's just too expensive. So they show Frasier repeats, which I fully.
Yeah, I have
of.
To say, yeah. I mean, you know. Whatchamacallit. They also show Ray Romano.
Everyone loves Raymond,
which I love. So.
Yeah, everybody loves Raymond.
Everybody loves Raymond. Yeah, everybody loves Raymond.
Do you know what I really like? Whenever I read day off work, a very very rare day off work, is watching the Frasier Double Bill at 8:30 in the morning. It's a great treat. Anyway, what about you, Steph? What have you been watching?
I know that you guys have not been watching this, and I think you're both stupid, because How to Get Away with Murder, this is the best season yet of How to Get Away with Murder. Yeah, it's
big words.
Right, do you know why? Okay, so in the first this previous seasons, she's always been in control. Okay, there's always, you think she's not in control, and
Viola
then she
Davis,
like, yeah, Viola Davis and Lisa Keating is in control. She's fallen apart.
Oh.
She's fallen apart mostly because she's had to give up drinking.
Oh.
Yeah. And
sober. She's sober.
Oh,
then.
God. The fallout is incredible. The fallout is incredible. So if you watch the last season, Frank left, okay? He'd done too much
her
murdering.
Husband.
No,
right.
Oh, get with the program, boy. Literally.
Frank.
Even I knew Frank.
Her, like, her guy who does all the murdering and bad stuff for her. He'd left.
A bad murdering guy.
He'd done too much bad stuff. Anyway, he's back. Oh, my God. It's really, really... It's amazing.
This is on the Sky Living, isn't it, now?
It's on the Sky Living. Guys, you've got to get into it. It's really. I really want to talk about it with someone else because I feel like I'm the only person watching it.
Look, once I've done this Spanish drama, I might get into it again.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I wanted to ask you, Top of the Lake, how are you getting on?
Still at episode 3.
Right.
There's a lot of...
about the first season?
Oh, I finished that.
Oh, you finished
that? We discussed
that,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole Top of the Lake backlash.
Yeah, no.
There is, yeah. There are people who, John Dan's nodding his head, our guru producer,
why?
Editor, hero. But, there are some people who think it's, and I use the word advisedly, a bit shit. Yeah, it's interesting. It's divided. Well, when I was at the Edinburgh TV Festival, a few people, because I wrote a glowing review of it,
McGuity
and there's been a few other
Brigade.
Glowing reviews. Like Hollywood Reporter, as I quoted, I think, before, thinks it's one of the best things ever.
Yeah.
That series too. So a couple of people came up to me and said, oh, you really liked Top of the Lake, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, I think it's brilliant. And they were like, but it's like, doesn't make any sense. It's full of coincidences. The characters do things totally stupid out of character. People have big issues with it. But so my response to that is, kind of all those things are true, but in the end, when something is that amazingly gripping and I think still brilliantly acted and shot, I don't really care if there's some coincidences.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like when people say, I've given you my plot hole theory, haven't I? You know the plot hole theory?
No.
Boyd's plot hole theory? So I'm calling
oh my God.
So my plot hole theory is this. I'm going to say it once.
Okay.
Because film critics argue often, you know, they go on Twitter or on social media and they'll go, well, you know, I really liked so-and-so film. And they'll go, oh, no, but there was this massive plot hole, you know, whereby this thing they did, then the next thing they did doesn't make sense. And there was no, you know, do you know what I mean? People say that these things.
Yeah, that's just
right.
Stupid.
Now, my answer to that is most fictional scripted things on TV have what you could describe as plot holes, i.e. just little elisions in the logic of the storytelling.
Okay.
And for me,
is this the theory now?
This is the theory now. Okay, go. If you generally just, after watching 5 minutes of a show, just like the vibe of it and feel you're really enjoying the thing, it doesn't matter if there's plot holes.
Yeah, of course it doesn't.
Just take against it equally quickly, then it does matter. So it's like, I feel it's just almost, I'm not interested in that element of criticism. Do you know what I mean? And the people... I think this is the case with Top of the Lake. Yes, there are huge coincidences in the storytelling, but I kind of don't give a shit.
Boyd, do you know what I'm going to use? One of the finest examples of television to agree with you here.
Thanks.
If plot holes...
The Crystal Maze.
No, okay.
Sorry, I got confused.
If plot holes... Stop talking about the Crystal Maze.
I can't. It's like crystal meth to me.
If plot holes were a problem, then one of the greatest shows on earth would have been taken off air. Murder, She Wrote.
Right.
How could she possibly be... where every single murder in the whole of America happens.
Exactly, right. That is a brilliant example, really.
Okay. Yeah.
It's nonsensical, but you go with the flow.
People loved it.
Absolutely.
Okay? So just stop it.
Too damn right.
But also, I really want to talk to you about Game of Thrones, the finale, because you hadn't seen it.
Yeah, you didn't like it as much, did you, lunatic?
I did. If you listen regularly... You'll know that Boyd and I slightly disagreed on the penultimate episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Now, I think happened to me? I think because you G'd it up to me and said it was so amazing and it was the best thing ever, I was like, oh my God, it's going to be the best thing ever. And I think I just didn't think
Boyd
it was
backlash.
The best thing ever. Do you know what my problem is? Nothing, and you're going to definitely disagree with me here, I didn't think that anything that happened was surprising.
Well... You may be right. Oh, right. So, wait a minute. Hold on. Including Littlefinger? Baelish?
That, I'm sorry. I actually found that quite predictable.
Oh, really?
Oh, come on. Yeah, the bit where she's like...
Let's use our library voices.
Okay, the bit where she's like, yes... She's pretending that he's manipulating her. I mean, come on. He was always going to get it.
From those two together?
100%.
From the start...
Oh,
so
come
you're
on.
Seriously... If only Kay watched this, can I just ask...
So a man is literally called Littlefinger.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're honestly now arguing about a man
but he doesn't have a little finger.
See, he's ridiculous then. Why are you even bothered about him?
Okay, it's a brilliantly creepy name for him, though, isn't it? Because it's a creepy name for the most creepy character.
Yeah.
Played by Career's Folks dude.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, Aidan Gillen.
He's great, yeah.
Now then, you're seriously telling me...
Boyd's pointing.
If I asked you the day before you watched the final episode, what do you think it's going to happen?
I ruddy bloody wish you hadn't. Let's do that for the final series.
I don't believe you would have gone,
I promise you, I was like...
Do you know what the thing about this, guys? We can't prove it either way.
No.
Do you know what this is the case, though? It's WAT, isn't it? Wise after the event.
Oh!
No, you did.
Do you know what? Someone on Twitter doesn't believe that yours and my arguments are true.
They are.
But I'm going to give this person a shout-out because Mark Mansfield is one of our big followers.
Yeah, great man.
Superpog.
Well, he listens to us on
the ground.
On his commute on the M25.
Oh.
And he gets very excited about it. So we've got to say hi to him.
Great
hi.
Man, legend.
Yeah, but he thinks that we've got...
I don't hate you, but I genuinely hate you. I don't hate you, I despise you. Preposterous. In the Game of Thrones.
What about cheap, cheap, cheap? Shall I bring that up? No, I'm just kidding. It's fine.
Stir in the pot, Ribeiro. Stir in the pot. No, Boyd, honestly, I really think that that Lord Baelish thing was like, I don't think it was surprising. And I didn't think hardly any of the others, I didn't think anything else was particularly surprising. I wasn't going, oh my God, I just didn't see that coming. And that's the thing I love about Game of Thrones, because you just don't see things coming normally.
Maybe I'm an idiot. I didn't see the Littlefinger Baelish thing coming. I thought that was brilliantly done. So satisfying as well. So satisfying to see the biggest creep in the show.
Is this Littlefinger again?
Littlefinger, yeah.
LF.
Kay doesn't watch it, so unfortunately she's bored by this whole chat.
I know, but I'm glad you're gracious enough to admit when you're wrong.
What
I will say is, I had this chat. I went on Five Live this week to talk about the finale, and we all kind of agreed that about the Game of Thrones. My Game of Thrones theory number two of the podcast
is
that fans are divided into those who love the big spectacular fighting and dragon slaying stuff, and those are like the little scenes, two people in a room having a chat. And for me, Tyrion talking to Cersei was one of the greatest scenes of the entire thing. Yeah,
Yawnsville.
Right. No, it's brilliant. That's what I want
from
the show.
Did you? Really?
Yeah.
But that's just too normal.
I think fundamentally you have different desires
before we
from
move
the show.
On. You didn't even like Daenerys and Jon having sex?
I don't believe that incest should be celebrated.
The incest
whether,
is best.
Even whether they're... No, I think incest is not best.
Okay.
I think we've hit a new low.
Okay, you should. I mean, you're a fan. You like Jon Snow, don't you?
Kit Harrington.
No,
why?
Not bothered.
No.
Oh, okay.
I really want.
He's naked, having sex with.
You saw it on the basis that he's a naked man that I think I like him.
I'm trying to get.
Which is fair.
You'd want to see him naked.
I'm just trying
naked.
To find some common ground.
Stop trying to drag her into this. Right. Yeah, I'm not the argument. Okay.
Don't drag
having.
Me down. Let's move on.
Anyway, let's move on. I know you're going to ask me what I've been watching.
Hold on a minute. Hey, Boyd.
Yeah.
What have you been watching?
Well,
tell us.
Let's make it clear, we're recording this on the Friday and we come out on the Tuesday, don't we? So yeah. On the Friday, we're about X Factor, a new series about to start. And I know, obviously, we generally talk about, like, you know, high-level scripted things, mm-hmm. apart from when we review in the fluff slot.
So would you consider, this is interesting,
yeah.
would you consider,
go on.
Knowing how you, you know, feel about these programmes, how do you view X Factor? Do you consider this fluff?
It is fluff, yeah. It's the greatest fluff, yeah. It's an entertainment show. Well,
you've said it now. It's fluff. Okay.
I mean, there is. Well, I'm going to tell you
about this.
One moment. Well, by now, you will obviously all have seen it. As in, by the time people listen to this podcast, although I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't even like the X Factor. But so the first episode, I hosted the launch of it.
Of course, you did.
Both of you snubbed. You were like, you had too much work to do or something. And
hold on a minute.
Were you not invited?
No, I wasn't. Okay. Bloody invited.
Well, that's anyway. Awkward. So the first episode, it's classic.
There's a theme here.
It's classic X. It's classic TXF. And but it includes this moment where Sharon, there's this kind of woman who is, you know, quite a big woman, and she has a brilliant voice, and she's quite vulgar, and she's kind of, you know, she's kind of being very funny and joking.
Larger than life.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And she's clearly kind of, that's her image to the world, is being this kind of big character. Do you know what I mean?
She's diva.
Yeah, a bit diva, yeah.
Singing diva,
sweet,
not
but
like
very
her,
much,
yeah.
I'm a big character, I'm going to be funny and down to earth, you know, and this, that and the other. Then she has this kind of incredible voice, one of those, you know, you just don't expect this voice to come out of this person thing. And then Sharon
Subo
does this kind of brilliant moment, a bit Subo-esque, yeah.
Right.
Sharon Osbourne does this great moment where she says, I think, you know, you need to stop excusing yourself psychologically. Or kind of worrying yourself about your size and your body.
She's so wise.
Yeah.
She's so wise.
And put up this front of the world and just realise you've got...
Did she just start crying? I would start crying.
Starts crying. Yeah, everyone. Oh. You'll see, yeah.
Did you cry?
You know, I was willing up, yeah.
And it's just stone?
The only reason I mention this is because people do have a go. I was only banging the table there with my fist. They do have a go at these programmes and say that people do think that. Below them, don't they? Beneath them.
A bit contrived,
snobs.
People think.
Yeah. But for me, that was a moment that crystallised that actually, every now and then, only on these kinds of programmes do you get those moments that are real. And I think genuinely, probably that moment changed that woman's life. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Simon then says that. Simon says, I think it changed that woman's life.
But do you think, right, because every time X Factor comes around, there is always at least one of these moments.
Yeah.
Do you think that the more that these moments happen, they just do just seem more contrived because you're waiting for that one story?
No, because I think you can tell the difference.
It's just a question. It's just a question.
The sob story. I tell you what, I'm not saying that's not a sob story. I know.
Story.
I recognise the difference.
No.
Like, I know that's just a very like empowering moment and life-changing moment. But what I've got at the moment is X Factor fatigue because of the sob stories. And the problem is we've had so many years of sob stories that even now they've been reduced because Simon recognises that.
Right.
Even still, it's affected my...
Well, when people say sob stories, what they mean is, what generally is like when introducing the contestants, they'll say, oh yeah, my dog died. There are hardly any of them
80
now.
Years ago.
I think they pretty much have got rid of them.
Yeah, I don't like those things like my dog died, but I knew he'd want me to come on and sing this song.
But I'm actually channeling him now.
Yeah.
When
they are using
this
the voice.
For you.
This is for you, Rover.
Sorry.
If only I'm waiting for the dog channeling now, and when it happens, it's going
to
be really
now
funny.
That's a program Steph would love to watch.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
a
prediction. That's going to happen.
It's a format.
Like,
it's a new format.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Dog-based singing talent show inspired by dogs.
Yeah. Listen, stop saying it because it's going to happen and it's our idea.
Anyway,
trademark.
Just give it a go if you think you're above the X Factor. I thought it was really good. Anyway, so that's it, the X Factor. And the other thing, I went to the season launch of W1A, you know, the brilliant comedy about the brownies of the BBC with Hugh Bonneville and all those people.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it was... That new series is effing brilliant. I think hopefully we'll do it next week.
Oh, good.
On the pod.
If it's getting an effing and a jeffing, I'm into it.
Effing and a jeffing. Anyway, let's move on to the meat of the show.
The corn.
So, the what?
The corn.
The corn.
For any veggie listeners
vegan,
out there.
Vegan.
You're so PC.
It's after Ozark. Sorry. After Ozark.
No. It's not. It's not after Ozark. It's not after Jason Bateman's drug cartel drama on Netflix. No, it isn't.
What are you trying to say, Kate?
Okja.
Oh, Okja, the thing about the giant pig.
Sorry,
not Okja, Ozark, not the Jason Bateman
the
crime
other thing
drama.
Beginning with O.
Yeah, yeah. You're a vegan. No.
Yeah, Okja. Well, I don't eat. As I said, CGI pigs. No.
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 Anyway, I don't even know how we got to that.
The meat. Yeah.
Yeah.
The meat.
We're in the corn. We're in the non-meat corn area of discussion of the podcast where we discuss these four big TV things. And as I said at the beginning, we're in this unbelievable situation where we have two new dramas from the Williams brothers launching at the same time and the same day on different channels.
Can I just say, those the parents of the Williams brothers, I bet their hallway there must be just filled with certificates and all those, like, classic
certificates.
Like at school they must have been brilliant. Classic overachievers.
I'm just going to interject and tell you, they are not twins, right?
Okay.
Jack, our lovely producer, has found out that Jack is 2 years older.
Oh.
But what I can also tell you is that they were in a band together.
Oh.
And apparently they
disagreed. Oh, they got a Brit Award.
No. They disagreed a lot more about songwriting than they do about script writing.
That's an interesting fact.
Yeah, thank
that's
you,
good fact.
Thank you very
anyway,
much.
I'm applauding the fact that their parents have, you know, spawned such talented children.
Well, they must be very proud, because this is Williams Brothers week. So, Williams Brothers Day. So next Monday, both of these shows start at 9 o'clock. Liar on ITV, Relic on BBC One. Should we start with Liar? I'm just plucking Liar out of the air as the one to start with.
And you looked at Steph, which
And I looked at Steph to explain the basic premise of this new 6-part television drama event.
Okay. Joanne Froggatt. Is it Joanna Froggatt? Actually.
No, I think it's Joanne.
Right,
yeah,
Joanne.
In fact, I know it is.
Let's call her Joe Frog.
Joe Frog. Oh, yeah, that's nice. Joe Frog of Downton Abbey stars with Ewan Grufford. Now, I think that is the correct...
Ewan Grufford.
Do you?
Ewan Grufford. I think it is.
Really? Even though you think because he's supposed to be Grufford?
Sure? Oh, is it?
Well, no, you said that, I'm not sure. Ewan Grufford?
Ewgruff.
Maybe.
Ewgruff.
Hugh Graff and Joe Frog. Okay. So they both star.
This is Ewan Rheon all over again.
Oh my God, it is.
Don't start that up again. Come on, we've got to move on.
Apologies to the Welsh.
Yeah.
Oh, we love
so
you.
Sorry.
Our Welsh super
and all those, and all those Canadians that we called Americans and all. Oh, just so
not we.
Sorry.
Not we.
Just me. Right, okay. Anyway, a Welshman called Ewan Grufford.
Yeah.
And a British lady who starred in Downton, Joe Frog.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's a teacher. He's a top surgeon.
He is. Yeah.
He's widowed. He's got a young son who goes to her school.
Yeah.
She's a fan of the kayak. So it opens on a really nice kayaking scene.
I love that. Yeah, it's very
really
beautiful.
It's very nice. Anyway, as an aside, she has just broken up with her boyfriend. So she's out of a relationship. He is sadly not with anyone because of death.
Because of death. He's a widower, yeah.
I don't think...
That's a brilliant phrase.
Listen, we're not laughing. If anyone's lost anyone out there, we feel
this
sorry.
This is a drama, to be fair, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
these are not real people. Right. Let me just say that.
So anyway, her sister works with him at the hospital,
sets
him up on a date. They go up on a date, apparently have a lovely time. However, the next morning, there's two very different recollections of what went on that evening. Am I allowed to... Is it a spoiler to say?
I don't. Oh.
No, that's the premise.
That's the premise. I think.
Yeah, it's
I think we. Yeah,
okay,
it's in between premise and spoiler.
What he believes was just a really great night where he's like, yeah.
Oh.
She's like, oh no, I got raped.
Yeah.
So it's about two. She doesn't go, oh no, I got raped, and that also is not funny. Okay, none of these things are funny. Death and rape are both serious. Anyway. So it's about two different people's
The Unmissables podcast would like to disassociate itself with any comments made by Stephanie Seeler. Carry on.
Kay's smiling at me.
I know. It's all fiction. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
It's fiction. It's not real life. Anyway, so what it's about is what she... Is it he says, she says situation,
yeah, it is,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. They've had this night together. But very interestingly, I think... The setup really is that you watch some of this night happen, some of the date happening, and it seems to be going well, and they're both having a good time. He says his phone's running out of power, isn't he? And she invites him back to her
flat, that old chestnut,
and they're kind of flirting and everything. And then it cuts to the aftermath. So I think this is very important, the way they tell the story, and you see her distraught, feeling she has been raped.
Mm.
And he sent her a message saying, oh, what a great night. And we know that. He sent a text saying, you know, it was a great night. And
it's a non-linear narrative,
right,
boys.
Exactly, that's what I'm about to say. Then they weave in flashbacks of other elements of this night, shown from each of the characters' points of view. And we still don't know, certainly without spoiling it, by the end of the episode, we don't know what to think, who to believe.
Who's the
and
liar?
I guess that is going to be the whole, I think that's going to be the whole kind of tenor of the series. I'm just going to read, this is there because there's a statement by Harry and Jack Williams in Harry and Jack Williams Week. And they say this: after writing two series of The Missing, which was told across multiple timelines with a number of different points of view, we're excited about exploring something with more dramatic simplicity, a linear story focusing on one single incident. In Liar, we sought to explore modern-day gender politics through a narrative built upon two fundamentally conflicting recollections of one night in a way which we hope will challenge and surprise audiences. So,
it's a bit wordy, isn't it?
It is quite wordy.
But they've certainly done that, though.
But I don't think it is. It's not a linear story.
Well,
it's a linear
linear than The Missing and certainly The Relic, which we're going to come on to next.
Don't get me started.
So they do interweave little flashbacks. Yeah, you're right. But they're clearly flashbacks, and generally the story is going to go advance in a linear way.
Well, it's
linear for them. Right. But my question is, after watching this, and I think it's fascinating, but it's interesting that they say that they're exploring modern-day gender politics, because I think with generally fictions that deal with sexual assault and rape, it's almost impossible, certainly for male writers, to create a narrative in which, in the end, the man didn't do it. Do you know what I mean? It's a bold thing, isn't it? So I'm wondering. So part of me thinks they can't even go down that road, and yet that's kind of.
But they're very innovative writers, and so actually, if they did push that boundary and do that, it would. I don't think it would surprise me.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. It would surprise me. Even then, it would surprise me.
Why? Because you think of the backlash.
Yeah, I agree with. But a rare moment of agreement.
Yeah,
I agree with Boyd. I think how could they possibly? I don't feel like this can possibly end up this series with him. I just don't think. I don't know how they're going to get out of it with
making
her.
Making it up.
They can't do that. And obviously,
I think it would be like if they did do it. I think it would have like some relevance and importance because actually, unfortunately, some people do lie about.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I mean, but I still think it would be incredibly bold and of course,
I would respect them if they did do that.
Totally, massive respect and massive. And I would be. I'd be absolutely amazed.
What will you do? Let's just put something like, what will you
do? Well, I will come on this podcast in...
No, something more than that. Right, either money
or... He will give
us
each £100.
Okay, do you agree to that?
Even though I'm agreeing with him, he will still give me that cash.
Yeah?
Yes.
I'm not going to give you each £100. Why would that be the thing?
Just proving that you're wrong.
It's not like you two are saying I'm going to be wrong. It's not like a bet, a wager where that you're... No.
Okay, well, you'll eat your metaphorical hat then.
I'll eat my metaphorical hat.
But what I thought was really interesting about it, right, is when I was watching it, I was like, she is lying through her back
teeth. Oh, really?
Which I didn't expect to think, because I was like, oh, no, of course he did it, because he's really nice, and he's really like... But actually, by the end of it, I was like, oh, no, he probably is really nice. I totally was like, she's lying.
I think what's interesting, what they do is, like, for me, it really made me think, because... They introduce two different elements for me. First of all, there is a suggestion that she's had mental health issues, right? Yes. So then that brings into
very important.
Yeah, because then it's kind of bringing into question, actually, if, you know, in this situation then, does that influence and prejudice your, you know, believing of her?
Yeah. And even then, that's a bold thing, because then if she ends up being the liar, is that going to be people with mental health issues are going to say, well, are you saying that people with mental health issues lie about this kind of thing?
It's a hot potato.
Carry on.
Also, I thought it was... And this is just about my opinion. When I was watching it, it like kind of challenged how I think about stuff. And this is terrible to admit, but like I was watching it, and you know, as you say, he's very pillar of society. He's a surgeon, this, that, and the other. And I was like, in my mind, it led me to think, and this is obviously how I perceive stuff. It's like, oh, he can't have done it. He's such an I can't imagine him doing that. That horrendous thing, because he's a surgeon and he helps people.
Right. An upstanding member of society.
That's exactly it. And I was like, but then I'm like. What an idiot, because actually Harold Shipman, he was a GP.
Literally just about to say to you, what about Shipman? Shipman was...
But I think it's interesting that it challenges our opinions and our perceptions of...
Do you know what? I thought... I agree with you. I was like, why would he do this? Like, I mean, obviously some people are just, let's use that word again, nasty bastards. But I was like, in this situation, it was like they had a nice day, and it was always like, why? And also the way that it plays out, I actually thought to myself, I wonder if by the end of this, there's not going to be any conclusion, and it will just be up to you.
Oh
my God, if there isn't a conclusion, I'm going to go.
I think that's an option.
Don't even suggest it.
You absolutely post
it. I would as well.
It'll be you.
We're both
going to
go bonkers. Me and Boyd are just going to go bonkers.
I'm going to lose it. If they don't resolve it very clearly and effectively and tell us what really happened. Now, can I just refer you to the film? Have you seen the film Malice with Alec Baldwin?
No. So
I think in that he plays a doctor, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he's a doctor. And he's a surgeon in that film. Mm. And there's a brilliant scene in that film where he goes about, yes, I have, he says something like, I have got a God complex. Where, so there's this theory that people, that particularly surgeons and great doctors, that have got a bit of a God complex about, you know, they like the power. So actually, and he does terrible stuff in that film, spoiler alert. So he could, you know,
of course
it could be part
possible.
Of the whole
I mean,
psychological... theory.
Yeah, well, I wonder how his wife died as well. Maybe he killed her.
Well, I was thinking that.
Maybe
but
he killed her.
But the bottom line is, all of this discussion, of course, because I had to completely different. I was like immediately thinking, oh, I think he's probably, I would be amazed if he hasn't done it in the end. And that her, the mental health thing they bring up is a red herring, you know, and I'm not kind of believing her. Mm. But the fact is, if brilliantly effectively, does make you doubt and wonder and talk in
this way.
And it's a brilliant... It's like,
and also, 100%, I'll be tuning in for episode two.
Yeah, it's a very, very clever storytelling. They are great storytellers, aren't they?
She does. You know what? She does Anguished Woman
so well.
Like, mid-30s Anguished Woman.
But also, in Downton Abbey, her character, Anna Bates, was raped
indeed,
as well.
Yeah.
I know,
she's,
I didn't want to bring that up because I was like, yeah, she's really been through the mill, isn't she?
Yeah.
Poor J. Frog.
Yeah. Oh, also, I want to mention, sorry, I just checked my notes and I would like to mention that Warren Brown is in this.
Yes,
playing
the great Warren Brown.
Best friend of Idris Elba.
And also a fine actor.
A fine actor and also a championship boxer. Do you remember he's also a boxer?
Yeah. And a lovely man. I've met him quite a few times. He's a really nice guy. Yeah, he's really good in it, yeah. So all in all, though, lots to think about.
Yeah,
deeply thought-provoking. Not very... So this, for me, so because we'll talk about this in a minute, the contrast between Relic, the other Williams Brothers programme that starts at the same time on the other channel. This is, for me, a kind of classic piece of television. It's very skillfully but kind of not flashily directed. It's told, you know, with those flashbacks, but it is told in linear fashion, and it's a kind of classic bit of storytelling for me, and I really liked it.
It's solid.
But it's not flashy, do you know what I mean?
No, it's easy to follow.
Yeah, and I think like that statement, like, because The Missing was very, like, was quite flashy in its own way, you know, it was quite kind of gimmicky.
But being flashy is not an insult.
No, not at all.
It's still a great piece of storytelling. Yeah.
Completely, yeah. So how many stars are we giving Liar, part one of the Williams Brothers night?
Right, well, I'm gonna give it 4.5 stars on the basis that actually there was a second episode on the previews website, and I nearly went to watch that, I had to watch these other three things that you made us watch. One of them, which
made
we'll talk,
you watch.
Well, one of them is an absolutely terrible, but we'll get onto that. So I really wanted to watch, we have to know, as you said. But I really do have a strong feeling that they're not going to tell us.
I
think it's going to be like the end of Lost in Translation.
Oh my God, 4.5 stars, Kay?
Four and a half
from me as well. I think, yeah, I can't wait to watch episode two. So in sharp contrast, the
exactly
other Williams
the
Brothers show on the other side. Which one are you going to watch? Which one are you going to record?
You couldn't get more genetically similar, could you?
Well,
in shows.
Kay, are you prepared to explain what the hell this program is about?
No.
Okay, thanks. Relic is another six part. I think I think Lion's six parts is now. So this is another six. So every night for the next 6 weeks, the Williams Brothers, you have to decide which Williams Brothers show you're going to watch. This is, in sharp contrast, I think, it is a much more, I'm going to use the word, gimmicky, high concept, flashy piece of television.
Yeah.
There's a lot of what I would call visual playing around.
Yeah.
It's a lot more stylized. Mm. And a very interesting thing. So the whole idea of Relic, it's killer backwards, and that's the clue.
Oh my God!
Did you not realise that?
Because I'm not a dum-dum. I honestly didn't realise.
It's fine.
That.
I don't know if you.
Do you know what I was? Honestly, when I was looking for it on the preview thing, I was like, why is it spelled like this? This is stupid.
Furious.
And now I realise.
Furious. Yeah, it's killer backwards.
What a
and
dick.
So what the whole cunning idea of this story of this TV narrative is. That it begins at the end of the story. So it begins with the capturing of a serial killer by these cops, played by Richard Dormer and Jodie Balfour, who are the two kind of in charge of the investigation. And then it goes backwards, literally flashes back.
Some might call it a non-linear narrative.
It's a very non-linear narrative. It's a backwards narrative. It's kind of a linear in reverse.
Mm.
So, but the storytelling is a bit like, have you seen the play Betrayal, the Harold Pinter play Betrayal? I think there was a film of it as well.
There is a film of it.
So there's a film of it. That is a kind of a relationships drama told in reverse. Starts at the end of it and goes backwards. And there was a Seinfeld episode inspired by Betrayal that did the same thing.
Do you know what it really reminds me of?
Go on.
one of my favourites, Damages, because that's done exactly like that. And that just didn't get enough credit, that show.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Glenn Close, oh my God, it's absolutely amazing. And that is completely it's completely backwards. Carry on, boys.
Good. So that's the idea. So it begins at the end of the story, and then during each episode, there'll be a couple of scenes, and then it'll literally go, it'll flash up 5 hours, 16 minutes earlier, and it'll rewind. There's a little rewinding device, so you know you're going back in time. And then there's another chunk of the narrative, and then 10 minutes later, it'll rewind again. 7 hours earlier. Yeah. And so you have to get used to this storytelling device.
I'm shaking my head.
Kay's already not happy with it, I can sense. It's a bold device because some people will feel alienated and confused by it. Other people will think, oh, this is interesting. And the other thing is, of course, before you say what you think, I thought the brilliant, again, I've used the word brilliant too much already today, but...
Say what you see.
Say fantastic.
The very clever, cunning little extra device they've got in there to make it more compelling, I think. You know what I'm going to say? So even though they're starting with, you think, the capturing of the serial killer, you're still not 100% sure if they've got the right person, because there's another, and all these clues to there being someone else that could be responsible or involved somehow. So that's because I thought, it's all going to be about how does a serial killer get made into a serial killer, and that's interesting itself. But no, there is that extra mystery element of it anyway, even though you start at the end of the story. Okay. I clearly feel you have issues.
Oh. Well, no, do you know what? This is a really great drama. For me, though, this backwards, you know, the going backwards, the flashbacks.
Upside down rain.
Topsy-turviness, right? Literal rewinding was too irritating for me. Because it didn't just happen once. It must have happened about six times in one episode.
Yeah, it's going to happen all the way through,
I know, which means that I'm not going to watch it anymore.
Really?
Even that, like,
sharp intake of breath.
Well, I tell you why, because it's so good. It is like confusing. The drama is so good. Like, it doesn't need it. That's my point. I just don't think it needs it. I feel like it's a device for the sake of a device. Have one flashback if you need to, like this.
But it's the whole premise of the show, isn't it? It's the whole concept of it.
It's
we are going to tell this story
but
backwards.
I don't think,
Memento, right?
But I don't think it. Do you think it needs? Do you think without it, don't you think it would be a good drama?
I think it would be a good drama, but for me, I'm already extra intrigued and extra excited because it is different. It's something different, and it's
really?
Exploring this narrative device.
I agree with both of you, but for different reasons. I think 20 minutes in, I was like, "This is too much. It is really, really confusing." But the thing that I really loved about it is that there were about 3 points in it where I had made a huge assumption about what was going on in a scene, and I was completely wrong. And I really enjoyed that, actually, because then you find out that you're completely wrong.
Yep.
So I was like, there's actually two specific... There's one, but I was just going to say one bit of it. There's one bit where a key gets handed over, and you've made a complete... I made a completely different assumption about what that key was for. And then towards the end, you find out what actually the key was, and I had a completely different idea, and I really enjoyed that because that's a layer on we're flooded with amazing thriller dramas, I think.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I really enjoyed this, actually. I was like, oh god, yeah, I was totally wrong about that. I thought it was this, and this is what really
I like it when it happens a couple of times, but when it's like constant, I find it's just
I tell you what it is.
I know what you mean.
You really have to pay attention to this one. That's the thing.
God,
I know that sounds like a stupid thing to say.
Did you see The Missing? Either
no, I didn't watch The Missing.
Right. Did you watch The Missing?
No, she didn't watch The Missing.
Well, I mean, all I'll say is both series of The Missing were unbelievably narratively complicated. Series two, I mean, series one was bad enough, good, but I mean, they were both brilliant. To use that word again, God. I've got to think of a new way
fantastic.
Of saying really, really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Ace.
The
Super
second
duper.
Series had two... The second series had two, maybe even three timelines told simultaneously, along with flashbacks and flash-forwards within them each. So you're like, oh, my God. But it worked, because I love their ambition. That's the thing. That's what I was going to say. Mm. Yeah, the big... You know...
It is ambitious.
There are... I love crime. I mean, every show on TV
watching
could be
and not committing.
A crime thriller, and I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's extra exciting when something comes along that is trying to do something innovative. And I mean, it's not entirely new, because I say lots of other narratives, things
have
tried this before, but in this particular series, from this first episode that we've watched, I feel, oh yeah, this is really interesting. I think there are moments of it that seem almost comical, I was going to say, apart from the performances are quite big. So we have to Richard Dormer as the main detective, who, by the way, is massively facially disfigured because he's been, we should say, the serial killer's thing. What's it called?
M.O.
M.O., thank you. thing, yeah. The thing, as it's called, yeah, in detective.
His thing's acid.
Yeah, in detective circles. The serial killer's thing is acid, throwing it, is killing people with acid. Mm. So at some point, we haven't seen it yet, because obviously we're starting at the end, but the main detective has got acid thrown in his face, and he's
do you know what? I was watching this late at night, and I have to say, it gave me flashbacks to when I was really scared of the Sloth and Goonies.
Oh dear,
you guys!
Fair enough.
You can almost bring as much back to Goonies as you can to the Crystal Maze.
No, but it's true. Yeah. Don't you think? Like, it is great prosthetics.
Very good prosthetics, but I think the acting in this, so compared to going back to Liar again, so in Liar, for me, all the performances are incredibly naturalistic, and that's what it's all about, naturalism. And this is not. I think the direction and the writing and the acting is all heightened and extra
kind of. It's very theatrical.
Very theatrical, right, exactly. And I like that fact that they've got these two. And I think it's one amazing thing for them. They've got these two totally contrasting. They're both crime stories, aren't they, completely? Mm. Except we don't know if a crime's been committed in Liar yet. But just goes to show how brilliant they are, how ingenious they are.
In these times when, like I said, there are so many amazing thrillers out there, absolute. But this has got a layer of originality to it that I really enjoyed. And I love it when I'm watching something and I go, oh, that's what it was. Oh, that's what it was. You do have to really pay attention to it, though, at one point I went up to get a cup of tea and I completely missed something. Yeah. And you absolutely can't. So have to make sure you're fully fed and watered before you indulge for an hour of this.
And the other thing is, although I was going to say, don't fret too much. On one level, I think you're fine because you don't necessarily need to know exactly who's doing what and why at this stage.
Boyd, I need to know. Okay. I can't. Right. I actually, if you miss that bit of text that says 10 hours before or 5 hours before or 3 hours before, you would be even more confused.
You can't miss that bit.
Okay, yeah, fine. You would be confused. Yeah. You know, eyes on.
Okay.
I know what you mean.
It is a compelling story. So even though I've boldly said I'm not going to watch the second episode, I probably will because I want to.
Oh, you liar! You're the liar.
It's a turnaround.
It's a turnaround. It's not a lie. It's a turnaround.
It's a reverse ferret.
I'll ask you two what happens because I do want to know. I think I'm a lazy TV viewer.
I don't know about you, Steph. But I think you know she's got to watch it. She can't rely on us to tell us what happens.
I'm not telling you.
So you won't tell me?
No.
Right. Well, I'll Facebook the writers.
They'll love that. You hear you say, we can't be bothered to watch another episode, and they'll tell you what happens.
Yeah, but I love Liar.
Diva. This is the diva we're dealing with. How many stars are we going to give Williams Brothers programme to Relic?
This is going to be the one that I would watch live. I'm going to say this is going to have to be 5 stars from me because for the pure originality of it, 5 stars.
Okay.
Well, I want to do a bit of a U-turn on my Liar and give that 4.5 because now I want to give this 4.
Hold on a minute.
I'm giving Liar.
You gave Liar 4 originally.
Yeah, and I want to upgrade it to 4.5.
10 minutes ago, you've upgraded it, and you're down. So this is 4.
Yeah.
So you're saying if you're watching Liar, and you're recording Relic.
Well, no, I'm not recording Relic.
You're not even going to watch it.
Again, we're not telling you what happens.
I slightly prefer this one as well. Yeah, I'm with Steph on this one. It's right up my alley because I think I love the challenge of it. I love the style of it. I like the fact that it's stylized and a bit weird and everyone's behaving a bit oddly. I think it's fantastic.
I like it also. It's a great shot. He is great.
He is fantastic.
Yeah. I'm giving it 4 or 5 stars, And this is what I'm going to watch and record Liar. Yeah. But for the next 6 weeks, Monday nights are Williams Brothers nights. Ruling television.
They really
Pogs. People on the ground, our friends, you listeners, when you watch this, why don't you tweet us and tell us which one you prefer? Not because I want you to prefer Liar.
We should do one of those polls. So after after next Monday, the 11th of September, 9 p.m., at 10 p.m., when everyone's, maybe 11 p.m., we'll have a chance to either watch one and watch the other one afterwards.
Yeah.
We can do a poll saying which one do you prefer? How good is that? Although probably the Williams Brothers think it shouldn't be a competition, should it? But they're going to get this. I mean,
the greatest competition is a competition with yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That is true. Props to the Williams Brothers. Yeah, that's all I can say. So just in case you haven't got the message, Relic is on BBC One next Monday at 9 o'clock. And so is Liar on ITV.
And they're written by the same people once again.
Let's move on to The Bish in Convo with, or to give it its full title, John Bishop in Conversation With on the W Channel. Do you even know what the W Channel is?
Yeah, I watch the W Channel because I quite like it.
It is aimed at the ladies.
Channel. Yeah, it's one of those ones.
Oh my God,
does
it stand for women?
I don't know, maybe.
Oh, Oprah was on there for a while. You know what, it's one of those, you know when you're settling down for a little nap You can have that on in the background and it's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So this is, I think that show repeats on Dave as well. So it's just to prove that the programme isn't completely for women.
Oh, right.
It's the third series of John Bishop. So each episode is an hour long, including ads, interview with one person, in-depth chat. And it goes to kind of roughly the loves. And this podcast is always me going off on one about how I went to the launch and hosted the thing. But
well,
I did.
Why change the habit of a lifetime?
I did host.
What, did you do this as well?
The original first series launch, yeah. God. I'm sorry.
I mean, hosting's a full-time job.
Yeah, I interviewed
Your
Bishop.
Success is giving me great fatigue.
God, Williams brothers all over again.
I'm not mentioning...
Boyd Williams.
Triplets.
Oh, my God, actually. And you've got a hugely successful brother in real life. Oh, my God. You are basically like the Williams brothers.
Hiltons.
God, the Hiltons.
Yeah. Anyway, so I interviewed him in front of people for this first series, and he kind of said that the whole thing of it, like, they do a lot of preparation, but he doesn't have a clipboard of questions.
Oh, it shows,
by him.
Yeah. You hate Bishop. And you
okay,
need to...
I knew this was going to come up. I don't hate John Bishop. I hated him in that show, which people obviously agreed with me because then he got shipped off to Iceland or where it was to take photos. What was it? Fearless. He is not a dramatic actor. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, but he's not doing dramatic acting here. He's being himself.
No. Well, maybe I do have an issue with him then. Go on.
So, this is his in-depth chat show, one guest a week. And it's a naturalistic conversation. It's a natural conversation, not naturalistic. Natural. Liar's naturalistic. This is natural. And so he has a natural chat with one guest a week, starting with David Williams, and he touches upon things in his life and career. And I think, I think it's a really interesting idea. And I love these kinds of shows. Like the one-on-one.
It's just a chat show, isn't it?
But one-on-one, there aren't many examples anymore. There used to, back in the day, there used to be loads of these kinds of shows. But nowadays, you don't get many one-on-one in-depth conversations on TV.
Oh, you know, you used to have Piers Morgan's life stories and then...
Yeah, he still does that. I'm sure that'll be back. Yeah, I guess that's similar. You're right, that's similar. But in that, it's like Piers Morgan trying to get him to cry, isn't it? That's what that show is.
Yeah, I quite like that, though. Okay. I mean, and I hate Piers Morgan.
Yeah. So what's your feeling then? I get the sense already you have issues with
I think
this
my
program.
Problem is with it saying that it is in-depth. Because I didn't think that John Bishop was probing enough for me. Okay, so let's just take Kay's aghast. Mm. Okay, right, for me, and we love David Williams, obviously, but there were certain things that I would have liked to hear about David Williams, or I would have liked him to have asked about David Williams that I don't think he asked. Like, obviously, it's very brave to talk about bullying, and it's very brave to talk about depression. But as he said in that conversation, he'd already written about this stuff in his book. So if you're a fan of David Williams, I think if there is one function to these kinds of conversational chat shows, it is to have something revelatory that you haven't heard anywhere else that is going to be the headline grabbing thing. Which,
can I
hate
ask you
to
something?
Say it, Piers Morgan did do.
So you're kind of the news hound. You're collecting like a news hound view
I
of
just
things,
think,
aren't you?
No. I would have liked him to explore.
Did Piers do that? What,
yeah.
Tell me one thing that Piers, like...
He got Cheryl Cole to say that she wanted to punch Ashley Cole in the face with her with a wedding ring because he cheated on her. He'd always got people. There was always a headline grabbing thing that came out of Piers
tabloid editor. So
yeah, and I'm not, and I don't like too much of that, but I do want to leave that show with knowing something that I had not heard before about that person.
See, other than Piers, I can't think of another interviewer who does that because either, as you say, everyone's written a book or celebrities and stars who are quite private just are not going to like.
Oh yeah, that's the other
guts.
Thing. He's not plugging anything. So the people in this series are just they're not. There's no specific thing they're plugging.
Okay, so there's my point. Then what's the point of it? What is the point of it? If you're not getting something... You love him, you might have read his book, okay? If you love him, you might have read his autobiography. I don't think, because Piers Morgan already exists, then what is the point? I don't really understand the point of it.
But maybe also a lot of people who go on Bishop's show wouldn't go with Piers Morgan.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, because...
I don't think David would.
But they wouldn't... Yeah,
wouldn't,
but that's
the whole
because
point.
Do you know what? Piers Morgan would probably have asked him some really probing questions that he didn't want to ask. He didn't want to answer.
No, not because of that. I think David would answer anything more. I just think this feels more... I'll tell you exactly what the point of it is. It's the clue's in the title. In conversation with. This is... That's what I was mentioning when I talked to him.
Yeah, and that's
what
it is. But it's so not in depth.
Well, I think it is. The point of it is a natural... conversation and not a kind of forced, I'm trying to get you to cry, I'm trying to get you to give me a big revelation, journalistic inquiry. It's definitely, John Bishop makes no bones about it. He's not a journalist. He's not a Piers Morgan. He is, it's like, I'm going to have a fairly, on one level cozy, but on another level, actually sometimes out of a cozy chat come not revelations, but at least you get to know the person. I think it's all about getting to know the subject. So for me, what's the phrase? Cards on the table?
Laying your cards on
I know
the table.
David pretty well. And I think this was I think it's one of the best interviews I've seen with him on TV. Because you've got to see the real him. Because I think people have a lot of people have set ideas about
famous
people.
I think most people have an impression of him being a very frivolous character, you know, on BGT, on Little Britain, stuff like this. And I think you've got to also bear in mind that we work in the media, we know a lot about these people. Not everyone who watches this show will have read his book. So actually all this stuff is interesting to them. He talks about depression, he talks about bullying, he talks about his father dying, he talks about how he feels like fame is kind of a bit like a car that has no brake. You know, I think he touched upon a lot of...
Maybe it's just me, and maybe I feel like I already know a lot about him, and I just thought, I actually thought the opposite. I thought he was quite guarded. I think it's because there were certain things that I would have really liked to know about David Williams that I didn't find anything else out about that I didn't know already.
What's an example?
So I would have liked John Bishop to talk to him about his marriage, for example.
I bet you he said that he won't talk about it.
I would have liked...
Because he talked about the kid a little bit.
Yeah, I think it would have been...
But that's what I mean. I understand that there's not so much... Right, that he probably wouldn't go on a show with somebody who was going to do that. But for me, these kinds of shows, that's what I want. But I understand. I just don't think my only issue is that I don't think for me this is not a because Piers has set that kind of standard of getting something revelatory. This is not in depth. This is maybe. It's a
different type of in-depth. It is in-depth. It's not the in-depth it's not the kind of in-depth. It's not him exposing every element of his private life for our entertainment.
I think actually him talking about depression is very emotional depth.
Thank you. There's emotional depth to it, and the depth of getting to know someone, what they're like. That's what this is for me. I thought he did it really well.
I think he got into his psyche.
He's never going to talk about, quite rightly, you know, he's never going to talk about...
He shouldn't have to. But then my issue as a viewer is I just didn't feel that I learned anything about David Williams that I didn't already know. But so maybe that's because I already know a lot about him.
I could give you one example for me.
I
thought there was a really good moment, a lovely moment, where John Bishop said to him, his mum's in the audience and his sister's in the audience, his mum Kathleen's there, and Bishop says to him, I don't know anyone... Any famous person who has such a close relationship with their mum and takes them to so many things as you're always with, which is true. He does take his mum to loads and loads of events, which is always lovely. And I thought that was a really good observation. I know I may seem silly to point it out, but actually I've never heard anyone say to David Vaughan, I interview him probably twice a year, you know, he's probably bored shitless of me, but... I thought, oh, God, you're so right. You know, no, I've never seen anyone just say to him, you really do take your mum everywhere you go, pretty much, you know, to all these things. And David was like, well, you know, he's like mum's, a boy's best friend is his mum and all this. But I just thought, yeah, you're right. And you've made that observation. And there were lots of other little moments like that. I thought it was a really nice.
Maybe I'm just used to a kind of a different level of that kind of thing. And because I hadn't seen this before, I was expecting it to be more revelatory.
Okay. But also because you hate Bishop.
No, but I don't think, you come away from this and you go, I went into this thinking, David Williams is, goddamn, he's such a lovely man. And then I came away from it going, he is such a lovely man. And I don't...
So are you looking for, like, some more, like, not tawdry revelations, but something that's like...
No, just...
Yeah, like, is that what you're looking for?
Maybe it's because David Williams, like, you're saying it was there was emotional depth to it, and there was. But I think visibly, for me, maybe that's what it is. Maybe I was just very simplistic on that level that... I maybe need someone to cry or somebody to like have some kind of physical reaction to being asked uncomfortable questions.
You mean it was too calm?
It was a really nice chat. It was lovely.
Do you know what this is?
But that's why it's a conversation.
Personal preference. For me, I would much rather watch this, you know, John Bishop having this chat with these people day in, day out, than ever go near Piers Morgan trying to get someone cry on that contrived for me show. For me, that's contrived. This is natural, and I'd much rather watch this. And I think you got to know David a lot more than you would if Piers Morgan's probing about his marriage and stuff.
I think this is like the Desert Island Discs of this show.
Oh my God, you're right.
But Desert Island Discs is classic.
I'm just saying what I thought it was billed as is not what it's billed as.
It's billed as a conversation.
It's still in depth.
John Bishop,
isn't it? It's different in depth. It's a different depth.
It's not my depth.
Okay. Well, I think we've made that clear.
We're going to have to move on.
We are, because we're... I mean,
but we need stars, but give stars quickly and then we have to move on.
He's furious that we're not going to finish him in an hour.
Yeah. Come on.
Should we just draw out the star rating?
I'm giving this 3.5 stars.
4 stars from me.
Yeah, 3.5 stars I'm going to go with too.
That is John Bishop in conversation with David Walliams on the W Channel, Thursday the 14th of September, next Thursday at 9 PM. This will show what that's in the UK TV family of channels, which we haven't done. I don't think we previewed anything from them. So this week we do it. Not particularly. They have a big launch at the beginning of September. It's a very successful family of channels, UK TV, just in case you didn't know.
Is Quest Red in UK TV?
No, that's owned by Discovery, I think. Quest Red.
That's that Katie they've Price
got,
channel.
They've got Really, and they've got, I think, Drama. They've got a different kind of genre channels. Anyway, Dave, of course, is their hugely successful and popular kind of male-skewed channel. At least where it started, hence the name Dave.
Yeah.
But Dave and W.
Dave and W. And Taskmaster is one of their kind of iconic shows, really, and it's now in this is the 5th series, and this is the show in which they gather Alex Horn, the lovely Alex Horn, and Greg Davis, who are the hosts, gather a gaggle of comedians, get them to do loads of tasks, as in the title, and they're silly tasks, kind of designed to draw out, you know, them being funny or whatever. And by the end of it, we don't win anything apart from a bust of Greg. It's just played for laughs. It's basically like an alternative to the comedy panel show, isn't it? With more physical, weird, silly, random tasks. That's my summary of the concept. And each series has a different gaggle of comedians. And this gaggle is Aisling Bea, Bob Mortimer of Vic and Bob fame, Mark Watson, the lovely Mark Watson, Nish Kumar is hosting that satirical show on BBC Two at the moment, and Sally Phillips, of course, is in loads of great things like Miranda and Smack the Pony. Mm. Kay, what did you think?
My first thought was, why? Right? Mm-hmm. And then I thought, God, because I found it so unfunny. And then I sat there and I questioned myself and I thought, maybe I just don't know humour. And then I thought...
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
I think you prove on an hourly basis that's not true.
Oh my God, I laughed at my own joke. But then I was like, no, they don't know humour. I'm sure they're all very funny individually. Separate them. Like, I love Sally Phillips, but together, I mean, right. I was just like, this whole thing, I maybe chuckled once, and that's only because I thought I should laugh now.
I think Kay has hit the nail on the head. The problem with this is, you know, when like two pluses make a minus. This is like, too many comedians make things fucking unfunny, and it is so unfunny, it's kind of unwatchable, Boyd. I'm sorry. I like you, Kay, was like starting to question whether I've become too Americanized. I only think certain like American sitcoms are funny and things like that, and like Jimmy Fallon or whatever's funny. I just don't understand British humor anymore. I'm an idiot. But then I was like, no, none of this is funny.
I wondered if Ramesh Ranganathan was on it. I thought I'd find
he was
in
the last series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it was the collection of people then.
I think the person who's the straight man is not funny. I didn't find him funny. I love Greg What's-His Chops.
Davis.
And I just,
Alex Horn is like kind of the Cole Pilkington character, isn't he? Like the stooge.
Yeah, but yeah, but he's the sidekick. He's the one who has to, he sets the challenges and he commentates on the challenges.
But he studied classics at Cambridge. So how has he got to this stage where Sally Phillips is rubbing chocolate cake under his armpits? Like what's happened?
And that sounds funny, but it isn't.
I mean, it doesn't sound funny.
I'm going to shock you now.
Boyd, if you think this is funny, we should stop the podcast now. Just please, God.
No, I'm going to shut you now, but I kind of agree with you. Well,
Boyd, I feel like I want to have a hug.
Well,
it's rubbish, isn't it, Boyd?
Let's not go too far.
I don't know how this has got a third series.
This is an interesting thing about Taskmaster. Part of the reason why I thought it would be interesting to review it is because it has been a huge success for Dave, and it has been nominated for awards. It might even have won a couple. No. I've been on judging panels.
I want to see the proof of those awards.
Oh, God, I'm gonna have to
get it now.
Hold on. Anyway, no, it doesn't matter. It has. Anyway, but for me, interesting because, so this is 5th season. Now, the earlier series, I think a lot of it is partly due to the selection of funny people. Now, the weird thing is, I haven't liked a lot of the previous series. When it started, of course, because Dave is a male-skewed channel.
Yeah.
You know, it's not completely aimed at men. They would deny that now. But it was always like 4 men and 1 woman. And it was like got to the point where I probably think series 3 is still like 4 men and 1 woman. And I thought it was always a bit embarrassing and unfortunate. I don't want to, you know, it's all too male.
Yeah.
Now they've got, this is the most female strong. They've got 2 women and 3 men, Sally Phillips and Aisling Bea.
I think she's good, Aisling Bea.
Right, well, this is what I was going to say.
I thought she was actually, the 2 women are the best ones.
I've always been conflicted by this show, because I've always thought, actually, I should like it more than I do. And I've been on judging panels of things where people have really loved it and are going, oh, it's so inventive, and the games, the tasks are so clever and smart.
Not
and
funny.
It really brings out the best of the people.
It's not clever.
So when I got, so every now and then I find myself tuning into it on Dave or on, you know, and being mildly entertained, you know, it passes the time. But I've never thought, oh, this is appointment to watch stuff.
No.
Then when I got the cast lineup for this, I thought, oh, actually, this is the this is potentially the best cast lineup left, because I think Ashley B's brilliant.
Yeah, she
she's got
good.
A great, by the way, new sitcom coming up soon.
She's funny.
Right, I love Bob Mortimer. Absolutely.
Oh, he looked embarrassed to be there.
But I love him. When he's on When I Lie to You, he's hilarious. And obviously, Vic and Bob are legends. Mark Watson is one of the loveliest, most inventive comedians. You know, he does these epic shows. He'll do 5-hour live shows. He does like 24-hour ones for charity as part of Comedy Live. He's brilliant. Nish Kumar is really good hosting that satirical show on BBC Two. And Sally Phillips is a legend. She's brilliant. So my point is, this programme, this episode, did not bring out the best of these five brilliant talents. And the problem for me is, with this episode and with a lot of this show, is it just gives them mainly physical challenges. So it's very slapsticky, like most of the ones on this episode. So the final live one in the studio was them kind of having to use these stick things to throw fruit into a thing. It was like, I'm not getting anything out of that. And there was another one that the hugging one, and there was one where they had to sail a boat on the river. And they were all very physical things. I don't think you got to know, funnily enough, touching upon the previous show, any of them. If you never knew anything about any of these people, you're like, well, I don't get really much of a sense of what, apart from Nish Kumar constantly going, look at them apples. And I thought, actually, bringing out the worst side of Nish Kumar, because he's a nice guy. So for me, the whole thing was almost like an incredibly negative.
I completely agree.
And I felt kind of sorry for them all they seem to be having fun.
Oh, but no, Boyd, my heart ached for Sally. It really did, because she is
fun.
A legend. And I just have never, ever seen her in anything. And I thought, what? You know, she really is a comedy legend. Yeah. And I just thought, why has she gone on this show? Because she's such a funny, brilliant woman.
They get really good people. They get really good people.
That's the thing. I just think it is too many. And when the comedians are laughing at themselves more than anyone else in the audience laughing, there's something very, very wrong. And I just, that stupid way that they assign scores, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
this is
idiotic. My two main problems, just very briefly, are, one, it's not funny. One, it's not funny. B, lovely though he is, I don't care about Greg's opinion. Do you know what I mean? So
but
these are big flaws.
I mean, it is very knowing, isn't it? You're not supposed to care. It's all very
of course,
like we're going to be.
If you literally don't care, then you get nothing from this. Like him grading it, because it wasn't always in sync with what I thought. I'm like, well, what is the point of this?
I mean, I don't think you're supposed to care particularly, but I didn't care to such an extent that I don't feel I need to watch it again. Yeah, that's
I will never watch
that. I almost feel guilty for not liking the show enough.
Because I know you mean. It should be funny. I think, if Dave's got this money to splash for 5 series, what they need to do is better invest it in something else. So, for example, I want to bring back Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah,
that was brilliant.
Yeah,
bring that back.
I think they might have tried, not on this channel, but someone
try
someone
again,
tried.
Try harder.
They have got like scripted shows coming up and stuff, so you know it's not. I've never liked Taskmaster as much as I should. I particularly was irritated by this episode after, so I was very disappointed, because I do think it's a great lineup.
It's
I
really
love all those people,
episode.
But I didn't want to see any of them doing any of that. I wanted to see them all chatting about stuff. You know, there's Alan Davis's show also on Dave, where they just sit around for an hour and chat.
That's much better. I could get on board with.
It's like that's the thing I want to see these people take.
It
part
made
in.
All these people become unfunny. I'm honestly convinced that they might have left that set and gone.
I did not
want to
see Sally Phillips
we've
rubbing chocolate underneath.
Yeah,
Alex
we've collectively lost it. Our careers are over.
We are in agreement. How many stars, Kay, for Taskmaster, which does start on Dave next Wednesday at 9 o'clock? If you're a fan,
1 star.
I mean, I'm going to give it 2.5.
Really? Yeah, I'm not going to give it any stars, because I would not recommend anyone watch it.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I'm the only person that gives things 0 stars, which means 0 viewing. Do not watch it. It's not funny.
I mean, you know, it's your opinion. Yeah. And you're entitled to it.
It's rubbish.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. It's awful.
Those are Liar, Relic, Bishop, Taskmaster. That was the meat. Wow. Now we get to question time, and we've gone way over the hour, haven't we? Kay must be like seething with fury.
Can we just speed up? Right, come on, we're just going to do it now, really quick.
Should we do it?
I'm not sure that was quick. It was definitely louder. Based on the John Bishop in conversation with, that may or may not have been in depth, who is your favourite chat show host of all time? Television chat show host, Steph.
I love Wogan.
Oh.
Do you remember Wogan? Yeah. Oh, that reminds me of my childhood. That brownie beige set.
Yeah.
I tell you what, he knew how to get in depth.
He kind of did, didn't he?
He really did. Yeah.
That's interesting, because you don't think of him necessarily as an in-depth.
Yeah.
He was very...
But he did.
He did. Yeah, he would have. But that, and that show, as far
no
as
No one
I remember,
sees Wogan coming. That's the thing about Wogan. He was right. always like... Yeah. You never think he would ask anything too probing, but actually...
And he had he would do that live, I think, I'm pretty sure, most Legend. Nights, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember there were some excruciating ones? We thought there was one with George Best that was awful. George
Is he the one with Emu, or was that Parky?
What?
You know, that's Parky.
Was it Parky?
Yeah. Anne Bancroft. Did you ever see the one with Anne Bancroft?
No.
Anne Bancroft, yeah. Mrs. Mel Brooks was on. And she was just so nervous and kind of... It was like a rabbit in the headlights. Just monosyllabic. It was excruciating. Check
what
it out.
What about Grace Jones?
That was Russell Harty.
Can I just give a shout out to Jimmy Fallon as well, who's my modern day hero?
Really?
Of
Jimmy
shows.
Fallon?
You're going to go for Kimmel or
totally.
Conan?
Kimmel over Fallon.
Oh, please. We haven't got time for this argument.
I mean, Corden over either. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go for Norton.
Yeah. Good shout.
Because not just because he has the best guests, but he's just got a great way with them. Yeah. And, you know, I think he gets stuff out of them as well, but in a kind of
he
very
does.
Charming, what acerbic
the,
way.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit about their egos. That's the great thing about Norton.
I'm going to the Americans. I'm afraid.
Okay.
Know? And the greatest, it's not even, I mean, it's just obvious, the greatest chat show of all time.
Letterman?
David Letterman.
Yeah, I mean, well, of course.
In the glory days.
He's coming back.
He's coming back. Absolutely. Yeah, the Netflix. Yeah. The Netflix, they're getting Letterman back. They're getting Jerry Seinfeld back. Seinfeld's doing shows for them.
Oh,
I mean,
God, you're going up to Steph's level of high pitch there. You're so excited.
Honestly, if they get like Larry David to do a revival of Seinfeld, I wouldn't be surprised. It is incredible. But yeah, David Letterman, the absolute, none of these shows, your Nortons, your Rosses, all of them, owe huge debt. All of the American, the Kimmels, this, that, the other.
They all came from Letterman.
They all came from Letterman.
What, the Wogan? Hold on a minute. They might have all come from Wogan.
No, they didn't. Yeah, he was absolute. I mean, actually, his interviewing was kind of pretty dire most of the time. He just kind of asked them what thing they were plugging, but it was incredible. It was an incredible show, and he still is, of course, an absolute legend. Yeah,
it was an incredible.
He's my hero,
show.
One of my TV heroes.
Much like this incredible show. And if you really do think this show is incredible, why don't you tell us about it? But better still, tell the internet about it, specifically iTunes, where you can rate and review us, but we only accept 5-star reviews. Thanks very much. So if you're thinking, oh, it's a 4-star, piss off, because we don't want to know.
In one sentence, I believe, there, Steph, you compared us to Letterman, and you said we were a brilliant show, and you insulted our listeners if they're going to give it less than 5 stars.
Why would they give it less than 5 stars?
No, it's good. It's fine. Thank you so much, as ever, to Kay and Steph, and to you all for listening. And we'll be back again next week with some more pop culture TV.
With some more TV reviews.
Bye. Bye.